This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Hello, Spilled Milk listeners. Matthew here. This is a special edition of Spilled Milk, recorded live in front of a studio audience at Microsoft on October 22nd, 2010.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we usually cook something delicious, eat it all, and, well, today you can actually have some.
Wow, it's exactly the opposite of what we usually do.
It is.
Usually we cook something and eat it all, and you can't have any. Someone else cooked this stuff, and you can have some. So we do this podcast every 2 weeks, and it's usually doesn't have a live audience, so we're really excited and scared to be here with a live audience. And you can find us by searching for Spilled Milk on Zune Marketplace or that other thing.
So today we have decided to talk about puffy snacks.
Yes.
And we didn't really know how else to describe the particular brand of snack food that we're talking about. So we have coined puffy snacks, and we hope that we can hope that makes some sense. Would you like to talk a little bit about how we came to the decision to go with this topic today?
So, well, you know, we wanted to do something that we wouldn't have to cook because we're lazy.
Even though we just saw up there on the screen that it says we're featured chefs.
Featured chefs, yes.
We have prepared Flamin' Hot Cheetos for you today.
Right. We totally would have won on Iron Chef with this smorgasbord of dishes. and something that would be kind of in the spirit of the Halloween season, so a little bit scary. We have some spicy stuff here. And, you know, something that we like. And we've been preparing strenuously, researching, sampling for this episode. And we have an important technical question since we're here at Microsoft, which is, does anybody here know how to unclog a laptop where the keyboard is full of orange cheese powder?
Or even more importantly, like a human circulatory system that is clogged with cheese powder? I think that's like the million-dollar question these days.
I've got the answer for you. Orangioplasty.
Okay. Anyway, moving right along. So, you know, there are many different puffy snacks we could have chosen today, including like those shrimp crackers that you can get at Jumia, those kinds
Absolutely.
Of things. Rice Krispies, even.
Yeah. You know, Rice Krispies, the problem is, I mean, that's not really a snack because they're too small to like pull out one by one and eat unless you're a Smurf. So we wanted to go, you know, something you can pull out one by one and snack on. So basically something essentially Cheeto-shaped.
Yes, and definitely not rice cakes. We discussed rice cakes, but we decided that they don't really count as snacks, that they're sort of more like just air.
Right, not technically a food.
Yeah, unless you're in Europe where they like to turn everything that we would use as diet food upside down, so you can get rice cakes there that are coated in chocolate, which I think is really the way to eat a rice cake. So,
if you turn something upside down, does that give it more calories or less?
In this case...
Well, upside down cake, that has a lot of calories.
That's true.
That's true.
So, so let's talk about how these things get puffed, because that's part of why I wanted to do the show today, because I wonder how does this occur in nature or not?
These are all 100%, they just go out and harvest them from the fields. No, so a puffed snack, I mean, puffed grains have been around way, way longer than the advent of industrial Cheetos. You put a grain in a high-pressure steam container. You release the pressure really quickly, and the gas that's in the grain expands very quickly and takes the rest of the grain with it. And so that age-old process is the basis for how all of these modern abominations are made.
is that also how like corn nuts would be made?
What else
can you do with this kind of technology?
You mean like what other things can you puff?
Yeah, humans.
Like humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cupcakes.
Maybe.
I don't know. If we get one of those, I think there should be like a TV show where people take things and it's like that Will It Blend series. Like Will It Puff?
There's a show about Will It Blend.
You've never seen
Will
It Blend?
Do you try putting stuff in a blender?
You guys have all seen Will It Blend, right? It's a online video series where it's an ad for these really powerful blenders, and like, you know, if we put this iPhone in the blender, like what happens?
Well,
I assume that one was pretty popular around here.
Anyway, well, let's move on to tasting these things. And we want to invite you all to come up and partake of our meal here today. So we have put a little self-service buffet center at the end of the counter here.
Yes.
And some napkins. Please come up and help us eat these things so we'll feel less lonely.
Yes, and I should mention that one other reason that we wanted to do this is that so that I could send Molly to the store to buy this stuff. Do you want to talk about your experience?
I had a shameful experience at the store yesterday buying these things. I live in Ballard, and I went to Ballard Market, the local grocery store, and, you know, of course, Ballard Market is too good to carry these snacks. So not only was I ashamed that I had attempted to buy them at a store that was too good for them, but then I had to go to Safeway.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to go buy them at Safeway, and there I am with literally two bags of Funyuns, two bags of regular Cheetos, two bags of crunchy or, you know, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and a pack of gum. And I'm standing at the checkout line, and I'm sort of instinctively checking out the, you know, the shopping basket of the woman next to me, and she's got like fat-free half and half and fat-free yogurt, and I'm instinctively sort of thinking, gosh, you know, you should just be buying regular half and half. Like, what is this with fat-free half and half? And then I look at what I've got, and I'm like, I have no room to talk. I've got six bags of puffy snacks and a pack of gum.
Not a nutritional leg to stand on.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I went through hell to bring this to you today, people.
Yes.
And so let's eat.
Yeah, so anyone, feel free, everyone, please, come up. We've got, you can kind of get yourself a napkin full of puffy snacks here. We've narrowed the whole universe of puffy snacks down to these five selections. And
we're gonna eat them in a particular order, the
right
way that we would go about eating from a cheese plate. So we're gonna start with the most sort of neutral one.
Right.
And by neutral, we mean Cheetos Original Crunchy. So Matthew and I have, you know, taken the day off of puffy snacks up to this point. We
That's
wanted
right.
to have a fresh palate for
Whereas
this.
Usually we would have had them for breakfast.
Yeah.
With milk.
So let's smell it first, shall we?
Get the bouquet off of that?
Yeah.
Regular Cheetos don't smell like much.
They really don't. They have a faintly dairy aroma, if aroma is even the right word. I should crunch louder so that the mic will pick it up.
I think it'll pick it up.
Huh. A lot saltier than I remember.
I'm glad I saved some of my ginger ale as a palate cleanser.
How do they get the cheese caked onto this?
I don't know. I was afraid you were going to ask that because I did not look that part up on Wikipedia. Like I looked up how they puff the snacks.
I used to love these so much as a kid. My mother would never buy them for me, and so when I was in fourth grade, there was a new girl in school, and I would intentionally sit across from her at lunch, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I used to do the old, oh, what's over there thing, and I would take the bag of the little single snack size bag out of her lunchbox.
You were a mean girl.
And then she knew that I did it, but I would just lie and say that I had them the whole time. I was a much better liar as a 10-year-old than I am now.
Wow, and see, I would have been the kid that you stole the Cheetos from.
Sorry. Anyway, these, I find them, I liked them so much more as a kid. I don't know. They make me sad now.
Well, maybe we should move on to the Funyuns.
Let's move on to the Funyuns. Matthew, you have a long and illustrious history with the Funyun.
I do. I was telling Molly on the way over that when I went to this K-12 school for a while, and my standard middle school snack was I would go to the student store, which was run by high schoolers, and I would either get Diet Coke and whatchamacallit or Diet Coke and Funyuns. Either way, you know, together they make a complete protein or something. Mmm.
What's really challenging for me is the smell of these, which is a little bit just like the smell of a vacuum bag.
Whoa.
And I mean like once you've collected a bunch of household detritus in it.
That might be how they're made. They're puffed in a vacuum bag.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Those have a kind of an intense aftertaste. My wife will not allow Funyuns in the house because of the smell. So we have to eat them here with you people instead.
I feel that I need to cleanse my palate with a Flamin' Hot Cheeto.
Now, the thing that makes me so happy about Flamin' Hot Cheetos, kids love these things. My wife works in a middle school, and said the kids eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos all the time. I see everyone loves them just as much as I do. This makes me so excited about the future because, like, you know, these kids aren't eating the regular Cheetos. They're eating the Flaming Hot, and I figure a kid that's into the Flaming Hot stupid Cheetos, they don't have a jaded palate. They're ready to make some things happen. They're not apathetic.
I like that these are seasoned with Flamin' Hot seasoning. That's actually what the ingredient list says.
I assume that it's like a byproduct of the pepper spray industry.
Maybe so.
That's how they're made. They're sprayed with pepper spray.
These taste like they have a lot of... I just noticed they have citric acid, and I was wondering if they had like some lemon or lime in there because they make my mouth feel like
funny.
I scrubbed it with something abrasive.
That's part of the appeal, yes. Okay, so we're going to move on to something that neither of us had ever encountered before we started planning this episode, which is kurkure.
We're really excited that this episode gave us a chance to
anyone had kurkure before? See, we were looking up, I think we looked up Cheetos online and found in the UK and India, there's a snack similar to Cheetos called kurkure. And so I thought, well, we have to get those, even if we have to like go online and order them and pay a stupid amount of shipping, which we didn't because
we took a road trip.
We took a road trip to Mayuri Supermarket, right near here, where we took a road trip to get Indian snack food, and these things are really, really cool. They are made by Frito-Lay.
They come in a tea time value pack.
They come in a tea time value pack.
Which is so much better, really, than like a TV time value pack or a snack time.
And so the flavors, they come in like 8 different flavors, but the ones we're going to taste today are...
We're going to taste Punjabi Kadai Masala.
That's not Punjabi, it's Funjabi.
And this is its first time in India.
Yes.
So.
And possibly first time, yeah, probably not the first time here at Microsoft. And then we have Naughty Tomatoes.
We were pretty excited about this. We didn't even know that these were going to have funny names when we decided to do them. So they really played well to our demographic.
The Funjabi is the lighter colored of the two kurkure.
Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that this one has a lovably endearing taste of rajma curry.
And it really kind of does.
This is like when you smell these, it really smells like kind of really not bad Indian food, but a little dustier.
Right.
Like Indian food that's been sitting around.
These are the opposite of the Funyuns, and I think they have a really good aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of rounds out.
Nice amount of sweetness and saltiness.
We were talking before about things you can powder and use as like a coating for fried foods. I think this would work great.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the spices didn't burn, I suppose.
That is really delicious. I'm really impressed with these.
Okay, can we get to the Naughty Tomatoes?
This is what we've been waiting for.
I've been thinking about Naughty Tomatoes all day. which means it's a typical
thing. Yeah.
Whoa.
So, I think that these... Oh, my gosh. There are recipes on the side of this.
Really?
I'm going to share one. Mmm, this is really sweet.
Yeah.
How to make kurkure chaat chakar. Take one onion, one tomato, and one cabbage, finely chopped. Add kurkure naughty tomatoes. Mix well. Add 250 grams of curd and tamarind chutney, red chili powder, jeera, and salt to taste. Serve with tea. Recipe courtesy of the Reja family.
Wow.
Serve with tea. It's so much more civilized than these things.
I know.
Wow.
Okay, do you think we can pick a winner among these? And there, each one with a couple of exceptions is appealing in its own way. I like the Funjabi.
I'm inclined to go with one of the Kurkure. I think they're really delicious, and I kind of like the naughty tomatoes.
You like the naughty tomatoes?
I bet they'd be kind of good with a Coke.
Okay, the naughty tomatoes, I like the spice, but it has sort of a tomato juice quality to it, and I'm sort of scared of tomato juice.
Well, I have to say, I think we highly recommend Kurkure after this. I mean, it's worth the road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone wants more, we can open some. We have some other flavors of Kurkure that we can try after the broadcast.
Yeah, happy to share. So, so anyway, I guess we should sort of wrap it up, and then we can maybe take some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
we will stand here all day and answer questions about puffy snacks or anything else. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk,
the show that makes your grains expand rapidly.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Thank you.
And thank you to those of you who tasted.
Yes.
Because it's lonely up here.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys really should come eat some more of this stuff. You shouldn't leave us alone with it or we will eat all of it.
That's true. There'll be 5 empty bowls and 2 very sad
looking bowls. I've actually already eaten a lot more than you did. I think you need to keep up with me.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog,
mm-hmm.
I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and Watson.com/the right way.